Blog Talk Radio.
Our faith has become tainted, our morals broken. Biblical moral instruction outside of religion seems a thing of the past during these times where they're most needed. Whilst the founding fathers of the United States created through faith the very foundation on which you stand, those that think they are higher than you and your Bill of Rights try to stand over it. It is your moral and respective duty as an American to protect those you love against anybody or any entity that threaten health, freedom, and the right to take up arms for the defense of your family. It is your moral duty to consider off-the-grid living, barter, and trade within local communities so that you always have a backup plan outside of forced government law. It's time to take back your towns, cities, and country. It's time to take back that which has been stolen from you, whether it be property, moral foundation, or most importantly, the love of family. So let's do this with your host Tara Beth, right here and now on Harvesting Truth.
Good evening, my friends. Thanks for tuning in on the Overthrow Network. It is Sunday, August 2nd, and tonight I have a special guest to talk with us.
And we have Art on the line.
Oh, great, great. Okay, Art, just kick back a sec. I'm going to introduce you, and I'll bring you on in, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so his name is Art Larson, and his website is noplaceforcorruption.com. And I actually urge you folks to pull up his website now to have a look at his research. And I know a great deal of investigative research is out there, but I can't say there are many of this man's caliber. His research is very thorough. And what I mean by this is there aren't a lot of folks who are calling out the crimes or the corruptions as he has. And on his website, you'll see this in-depth studies that he's conducted over the years, and you'll get an idea of why I'm telling you that Mr. Larson stands out in the sea of truth tellers. Serious investigators, they'd be delighted to actually detect this. On his webpage, you'll find him calling out some of the major figures, the most corrupt instances that have plagued our nation and our communities. Things like 9/11 and AIPAC, the diamond industry, the Bay of Pigs, the JFK assassination. There's so much stuff broken down. You know, it's all the way down to who it was, how it was done, for what purpose. So I urge all truth seekers and tellers to camp out on his website for a while and stay positive in the fact that there are some solutions and ways that we can combat this to get rid of this, combat the growing problem, as long as we come together. So Art, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on.
Yes, how are you doing today, Kara?
Okay. I'm doing pretty good. I am. It's been a really busy week. I'm looking forward to this new one.
Good.
I thought it'd be cool if we opened our discussion by informing the site and why you chose the name No Place for Corruption.
Okay. First of all, on the website, there's a document section which has a PDF download file. That's where all the information is that Kara's talking about, Tara. And it's still a work in progress, but quite a bit of research has been done there. No Place for Corruption is a spoof on the Anti-Defamation League program called No Place for Hate. That's why he came up with that name. What happened is I was dealing in my community in Abington, Pennsylvania. They started to have this program called No Place for Hate. And I pointed out to the sponsor of it, Joanne Strauss, who passed away, that this was a front for organized crime. That the Anti-Defamation League is part of the Chicago Syndicate, which is the Bruffman crime family. That's who I said it was. And she said she would never bring a program into the community that's like that. And I said, here's the information, take a look at it. I called her back a couple weeks later. She looked at it and he says, well, I'm basically calling the ADL and having you registered as a hate criminal, okay? So the ADL calls me up, says we're going to have a national database, you're going to be registered into it as a hate criminal. That's how this came about. Subsequently, I talked to the police, and they told me, yeah, it's the mafia. Be careful. All right, so I had directly from the police tell me that the Anti-Defamation League is the mafia. Okay, so that's how this came about. Next, I actually went to the Abington commissioners. I says, this program, No Place for Hate, is a front for organized crime. I says, here's a bet. I'll bet you $10,000. I'll even pay you $1 for it. Who wants to take me up on this debate? The entire Abington Board of Commissioners refused to take up the challenge. Okay, so they knew exactly who and what they were dealing with. Also, one of the commissioners there was Commissioner Wachter, Bob Wachter, W-A-C-T-H-E-R. And he says to me, he says, I've seen people like you. I've seen you come, and I know exactly who you are. And it's I've been a hard carrying member of the Anti-Defamation League, Benaiah Breath, for the past 30 years. I says, okay. So he comes up for election, and I found out his voters list, went after him, stood at the elections, handed out the flyers, and he was screaming at me, calling me a Nazi, Sieg Heil, Holocaust denier, the whole nine yards. So he won the first election, comes back to second election, and he lost. So it takes a little bit of persistence, and when you actually stand up to these criminals, you can actually not take them out of office if you just have the 42 to stand up to the abuse they're going to give you as that goes about. And the police knew about him. They actually gave me permission to go after him. That's how the No Place for Corruption came about, as a spoof on the No Place for Hate program that's now going throughout many of the schools throughout the country. So that's how this came about. Do you have any other questions related to that, Tara? All right. Basically, No Place for Corruption is a document I've been working on. I do revise it. The latest revision out there is 3.3 as of June 2015. No Place for Corruption is a review of basically what's going on here, mostly nationally, and what's going on in Pennsylvania with public corruption. And the more I dig into it, the more I find I'm just scratching the surface of how extensive it is. So what I did with No Place for Corruption is I set it up in a PDF file, which I continue to update. It's a big file. It's roughly over 40 megabytes, so it takes a little bit of time to download. And eventually I will work on it, make it a WordPress website, but for now it's easier to put it in a single document to work on the information. And I show a chronological evolution of the events of what's happening so people can see what's going on around them and actually make sense of it. And when you actually look at what's going on around us and you look at the situation in America like you would look like at the Big Bang Theory with physics, and you look at three events, you can actually pretty much understand how things are evolving right now and where they're going. Okay, one event was the setting up of the Federal Reserve Bank back in 1913. That was done by the folks in the book The Creature of the Jekyll Island. The J.P. Morgans, the Rockefellers were involved with it, Jacob Schiff, and Bernard Baruch was another one who was involved with it, who actually influenced President Woodrow Wilson to pass this legislation. Now, some interesting points there is Jacob Schiff is identified as definitely one of the Rothschild members of the Rothschild banking interest out of Europe. J.P. Morgan was identified also as a major proxy for the Rothschild banking interest, also out of Europe. And Bernard Baruch, who basically became a Supreme Court justice, who was also a financial investor who made a lot of money. And there's others there, but those are the ones I remember as we're talking right now. So when you look at it, one of the things I actually was at the dedication for Benjamin Netanyahu of the Jewish Holocaust Museum in Philadelphia. just on the side of east side of Independence Mall. This goes back into the late 90s. And Benjamin Netanyahu says it was our people who set up the institutions of the Federal Reserve Bank, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Anti-Defamation League, B'nai B'rith. What he failed to identify was the major party behind those three institutions. One of them was none other than Jacob Schiff. He was sponsoring the Federal Reserve Bank to a smaller extent, that part. He was also sponsoring the Anti-Defamation League, and he was sponsoring the Internal Revenue Service to make sure they collected the revenue to pay for the Ponzi scheme. Now, the reason the Anti-Defamation League was set up was as a result of what happened to Frank Leo. Frank Leo was a person who ran a business down in the South, I believe it was Georgia, and he was arrested for the rape and murder of his employee, Mary Fagan. And,
Art, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay, I am so sorry. I was asking you questions. I wasn't being heard. But anyway, we're back on, and I'm still, thank you for carrying it on and everything that you've been saying. I've been able to hear you, so thank you for the information, and please carry on. Please, my listeners are loving it.
Right. So Mary Fagan basically was raped and murdered by Frank Leo. And he basically was identified as, I believe, a cocaine addict, or possibly some type of drug addict. I'm not sure if it was cocaine or morphine. And he was convicted. And what happened is he was then basically, after his conviction for it, the people, the community in the South where he was living and convicted, basically took him out and lynched him. Okay. There are disputes from people saying that it wasn't Frank Leo who did it, but it was somebody else who raped and murdered Mary Fagan. That I don't know, but I do know that's what happened, and I know for that reason that Jacob Schiff set up the Anti-Defamation League. Okay. He also set up the NACCP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Okay. That was another institution Schiff set up.
Now, do you think there's any connection with the Schiff that Ron Paul has kind of, the Ron Paul movement, the economist? Do you think there's any connection with him, like, him
yes.
being a Schiff and him? Okay.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And as a matter of fact, when you look at, what was his name? Freedom to Fascism by Aaron Russo. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You look at actually what he wrote there, and Aaron Russo says, he heard it from the Rockefellers. Well, I'm not so sure he heard it from the Rockefellers. When you actually do the analysis, yes, you heard it with the video of what Mr. Rockefeller said to Aaron Russo. But mm-hmm. he was also working with one of the members of the Schiff family, which I have in my book, No Place for my PDF file, No Place for Corruption. I can't remember.
Now, was this Schiff or was this Russo that was working with?
Russo's was working with the Schiff family. Okay.
Oh, okay.
One of the members of the Schiff family was basically being prosecuted for tax evasion. And he was mm-hmm. actually the guy producing the film that we were mm-hmm. seeing Aaron Russo actually produce, Freedom to Fascism.
Okay? Yeah, and it's been years, direct, yeah.
And he was a direct relative of Jacob Schiff. Okay, and I'm looking for
okay.
it right now. So
okay.
I'm looking to see if I can find it as we look at this, since you're asking for it.
Yes, thank you.
I'll give you the actual facts here.
Well, seeing how Schiff is, such a big name in the the criminal mafia, I was concerned with a lot of these libertarian, fellow freedom fighter types putting him forward as the kingpin of economics, and I didn't think that settled too well with me, and I'm happy to hear that you have some inside information on this.
Right. So it was Erwin Schiff, who's a relative of Jacob Schiff, who was the guy filming Freedom from Fascism, okay? And
mm-hmm.
that explains why Aaron Russo, working with Erwin Schiff, who is a relative of Jacob Schiff, one of the founders of the Federal Reserve Bank, that Rockefeller felt so comfortable talking to Aaron Russo about what their plans were. Because the guy making a film was part of the Schiff family.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Now, the other thing is, Erwin Schiff's son, Paul Schiff? I'm not sure right now. Let's see. I'm looking it up right now. What's his last name? Peter Schiff.
Peter, yeah.
Peter Schiff was predicting the mortgage meltdown, okay, in 2008. Okay. Now, it's interesting since his father is Erwin Schiff, okay, who's writing the film Freedom to Fascism, and, you know, going back in time, Jacob Schiff was the boy who was involved with setting up the Federal Reserve Bank, that somehow Peter Schiff says he's got the information from his expertise, and then he basically, in one day, when the mortgage security market crashes, he makes $4 billion in one day playing the playing the options market.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, to me, that's more than a coincidence, saying his acumen in financial investing. I don't think it's...
Yeah, right. And then his predictions are quite peculiar, too, in that case, you know? It's like...
Right, right.
Yeah. How did he know? Is it that he's bright and should be trusted, or that he knows because he's part of the Schiff family who are setting up all these things that are working against our rights?
Bingo. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. So what's interesting there is when you see, you know, everyone likes what Aaron Russo had to say, and he says some valid things, but when you realize that his sponsor, Erwin Schiff, is the controlled opposition that we're talking about. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing we see with Donald Trump. I mean, I like what a lot of things Donald Trump has to say, but he's working with it. He's controlled opposition.
That's right. He is.
And you saw the same thing with the Ron Paul campaign. They set him up as controlled opposition and let everybody off the cliff. So, you know, basically the Republican Party got compromised again and they got their crony back in there. And I see the same game playing for the 2016 election. If I was a betting person, I would say most likely would be Jeb Bush is the guy to go in there for a simple reason. He's got $116 million in his campaign coffers, which is twice as large as what Hillary Clinton has, and that pales to the amount of funds just about anybody else in the race has. So that's how I say it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So what kind of economic system would you support for America?
Well, given where it is now, I would prefer to go back to the economy that Thomas Jefferson had. Okay.
Yes, that's exactly, and that was definitely during the times like the Confederation and stuff like that, where it's agrarian setup, right?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to look at the banking system that Andrew Jackson set up, because he said his biggest accomplishment was that he killed the Second Federal Reserve Bank. Okay.
Yeah, he did.
And as a result of that, from his term when he was president in 1836, roughly in the 1830s, all the way up to the 1930s, the depreciation of the American dollar was 3 cents. Okay? So over a period of 100 years, with the Rothschild Bank, Second Rothschild Bank being destroyed, 100 years later, the purchasing power of a dollar was 97% of what it was 100 years prior to that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have the Federal Reserve Bank Ponzi scheme set up by the Rothschild banking interests from 1913 and really got going around during the Great Depression in the 20s, but let's say 1913 to 1915, 100 years plus two, the purchasing power of the dollar is down to 2 cents. So we've lost over 98% of the purchasing power of our dollars due to the fiat currency run by the Federal Reserve Bank just printing up dollars, debasing the values of the dollar, purchasing power of the dollars in our wallets.
That's absolutely criminal.
Right.
And even more criminal that we've let it go on for this long.
Right. Right. I mean, if me and you were to do it, it's called counterfeiting. Okay. But a private bank called the Federal Reserve Bank is allowed to do it at will, working with, basically getting the consent to raise the debt limit and print more money.
Yeah.
So,
tacking on interest made us all into debt slaves. Basically, that's what we're living in.
Right. And one of the big things they do with that money is they manipulated themselves to get into venture capital investing, like the National Venture Capitalists Association. And through that, they're pretty much able to take control of just about any segment of the economy they want to, and have done quite well for themselves, like the high technology industry. They took over that with that as an example. you know, the pharmaceutical industry. They got themselves into that quite well. You know, obviously finance, okay? So, and also, you know, we're seeing them invest quite heavily in pharmaceuticals recently.
Yes, and their doctors are basically trained drug dealers. They're not exactly working for the health of the people, but to push drugs on the people because they're just treating symptoms with these drugs. And they're putting a lot of children on them too. And that goes and works with, you know, the other industries that they're that they're in control of with the media, and they're brainwashing these people who are drugged up and on bad food. And, you know, then there's the agricultural aspect of things. So, you know, they seem to have their hand in everything now, everything that matters in American life.
There's a lot of truth to that. And the first defense people need to build to fight against it is basically become aware of what they're dealing with and start being more efficient and aware of how they spend their dollars. If you spend your dollars in local business, then you're creating jobs in local business. If you spend your dollars in big box business, then you're creating jobs at some manufacturer that half of the business and the jobs are out of this country. So,
yeah, I believe in that too. I think voting with our dollars is the best place to take our power back.
Right.
And that reminds me, actually, we spoke in brief a couple days ago about trying to establish some local solutions. And over the years that I've known you and from listening to your speeches, you have brought a lot of great ideas. And one that we mentioned a few days ago was the Watchdog Group. Maybe we can, and also one of the, you mentioned about Enron and how all of these different people are, well, let's just get into the Watchdog Group thing so we can talk about there and go from there.
All right. Given the situation as is now, you know, basically we have to assume that our government is corrupt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, from working with it, it is. And it's corrupt at all different levels. So the idea that I'm presenting, I mean, I can present the ideas, you know, but it's people got to do it. We have in what we have, for instance, is what they call civilian review boards of certain police forces, like the city of Philadelphia, where they actually review, the citizens review the activities of the police, you know, when there's a shooting or whatever. And they have the authority to fire the police officers, okay? You know, they have to go through the process. You know, they got a system set up, but they can basically, the citizens who are on the review board, have the absolute power and can, you know, destroy their careers if necessary.
Mm-hmm. Hold them accountable. Yeah.
Right. Now, there's an idea of government, which, you know, goes with this watchdog approach. When the government, when the people fear the government, you got tyranny. And when the government fears the people, you have liberty. It's really that simple. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the way we have it set up now is the people are in fear of the government. Okay? And we do have the power. If you look at, for instance, you know, where they look at statistical analysis of the number of people, there's like, you know, one congressional person, there's like 600,000 people in his congressional district. If we had a watchdog group that specializes having 10 people per congressional district, 10 people out of 600,000 watching his activities in a rotating board with the ability to basically take him to task and to present to the 600,000 people that are representing that community, to use that information to make sure he's doing the business of the people and not of the special interests, and actually be able to take him to task and to fire him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that needs to be extended to every police force and every governmental body that you can think of, from your school board all the way up to the president. Okay, and this is something that's really feasible that people can do. It doesn't take much to say, I'm going to be a watchdog group watching out for these activities in your community. You could be the school board watchdog group or whatever. You could basically go into something like Meetup, set up Meetup activities, start locally, and then start, you know, all politics is, you look, think globally, but you act locally. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, before we talk about succession or anything else, we haven't even organized ourselves to actually hold a school board member accountable to the people. All right, and that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean, let's get practical here. If you can't even take out a school board member with a protest, what makes you think you have any chance of succeeding with secession against the government? Okay. It's
right.
not an effective way to actually get results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the fact that people want to succeed, as for instance in Georgia, the first thing they need to do is identify each and every member in the legislature of Georgia, their state reps and their state senators who voted for that, and make sure that when they come up for election, you find out who's up for election, you get the information of the voters, which you can from each county level, you can get the voting record of all the voters. And you can
mm-hmm.
basically send them out letters, or you can stand at the polls, or you can send out literature in the media, the newspapers, or the radio, and get your
mm-hmm.
message out. Then you can arrange when he comes up for election, that member, at the polls, you identify where the polls are going to be, and you stand there, and you hand out flyers and say, here's some information on the issue. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This guy basically
mm-hmm.
does not respect the Southern interests of the Confederate flag. And
mm-hmm.
he's basically pandering to special interests, and he's unfit for public office because he doesn't represent the interests of the people. He represents the interests of the special interest globalists
right.
who don't give a darn about what's happening in our community. So
what
makes him think he's fit for public office here when he did not represent our people but decided to represent somebody else? Yeah,
that's right, Art. That's brilliant.
Right.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is that we need to take back our local powers, that we need to be able to have control of our school boards, have control of our zoning boards, you know, and really get involved with that before we can even consider all of these communities coming together to secede from the union. I mean, that is the only possible way. That's the way the system is basically set up.
That's the way the system's set up.
That's the way it's set up. So that's what we have to work with. Right. So, and in the process of getting these local communities involved and aware and awake of, you know, all these programs that we should be fighting back, like No Place for Hate, for example,
right.
then the more they're going to have a conformed sort of understanding across the board through other towns and things like that. So even if there's one person in one town that is awake, they have enough power to reach out to other people. As long as they're doing things conservatively and speaking intellectually and doing it in a professional manner, the truth has a way of spreading if it's presented right.
Right.
So I think if these communities, you know, and if everybody took it upon themselves to establish, say, a watchdog group and that kind of thing, you know, how would we go about that? How would someone go about getting rid of, say, No Place for Hate, at this or school board level? Or, you know, how could we say we don't want No Place for Hate in my town? Because we have it. And I see a sign up on this one road that I'm driving down next to a school and stuff. And I'm like, you know, how do I get rid of that?
I did it already. Here's what you do. Go get your little mechanic set, you know, basically your socket wrench set. Go up to the sign, take it off, go right to the police force.
Okay.
Mention No Place for Corruption and say, this is a front for organized crime. I do not want a sign that is a front for organized crime in my community. And if it's not the mafia, put it back up. If it is the mafia, keep it off. Give it to your police.
Okay.
And that's what I did.
Okay.
And they did the same to me. After I was protesting, they put a couple of No Place for Hate signs. I took them off with a socket wrench and just drove them right over to the police station. And guess what? They haven't been back up there for 4 years.
So you've challenged them to prove that they're not mafia.
Bingo. Yep.
Bingo. Now, how did you get across to them that they are mafia?
Just simply showed, here's the sponsor, the Anti-Defamation League, is owned by Edgar Brofman, who's part of the Chicago Syndicate.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. And wasn't there an Enron connection to that, too?
To what did you repeat that?
Wasn't there something with Enron, like some of the people who were involved with the Enron crash or something
the Enron connection would be like this: is one of the major people involved with the Enron crash was Michael Milliken. convicted felon in the Ivan Boesky scandal, who worked for Drexel Burnham Lambert, which is a Rothschild-owned financial institution, which was run by the Rothschilds. Okay, so they went bankrupt over the Ivan Boesky scandal. And Michael Milliken is a major supporter of the Anti-Defamation League. So that's the connection I know about.
Okay. Wow. The ADL in that case. Okay.
Right.
Now, how do you think a local community could go about targeting, like, say, how many ADL offices are there out there? I mean, there's the SPLC, there's the ADL. I mean, they're connected.
Yes, they are.
Aren't they? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know that connection?
I didn't explore it in depth, okay, but it's definitely there.
Okay.
And also, it's Louis Brandeis is the other one, okay? So it's actually, when you're talking from No Place to Hate, it's a little more than that. It's No Child Left Behind, which is run by the Annenberg Crime Syndicate. It's No Place for Hate, run by the Brofmans, okay? On the colleges, it's Hillel, H-I-L-L-E-L, which is run by, again, the Brofmans. Then it's Shabbat Lugavitcher, L-U-B-A-V-I-T-C-H-E-R, which is also run by Sheldon Adelson, who bought the casino interest that he has, the Sands casino interest, directly from Meyer Lansky. All right? So those are the things that I see on the schools. And the other one is the Brandeis Institution, which is going after witch hunts in all the universities throughout the country, that anyone who basically says anything that opposes the position of the U.S. stands with Israel, that they're basically going to try to get them thrown out of school, destroy them as a professor, or whatever else they can do through filing lawsuits across the country. So that's what needs to be stood up to.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So they're really programming a lot of people through these school boards and these programs. That's the whole point, is to get people to be silent. Blackmail them. Wow.
Right. They're blackmailing them or paying them off. It's real simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the No Child Left Behind program, what was the real intentions behind that?
No Child Left Behind was basically to summarize the assets in the public schools for taking them over and privatizing them and replace them with private schools owned by the mafia via charter schools. Mm-hmm. And another way they wreck them, in addition to No Child Left Behind, is Common Core. Okay. So Common Core was set up by a guy named David Coleman, who also is one of the senior managers of the SAT company that gives the SAT scores the kids take to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And he's used to be a consultant for McKinsey Consulting, which is one of the companies that was criminally involved with the fraud at Enron. Okay. McKinsey Consulting was, its executive at that time was Roger Gupta. One of the senior managers for McKinsey was Jeff Skilling, who got prosecuted. Roger Gupta subsequently got prosecuted for securities fraud when he was a board director at Goldman Sachs, along with Raj Ratman. Okay.
Wow. Boy, I tell you, Art, I don't know another person out there that can just drop names and has all this kept in their minds like this. And what I really like when I talk with you is that you have such a clear view of everything that's going on, and you can see how it can be defeated. And if more people were able to see these inner workings and stuff, then that's the only real hope that we have. So, if they were to go to No Place for Hate, you can find a lot of this information that you're talking about there on your PDF, correct?
No Place for Corruption is the PDF.
No Place, I'm sorry.
And No Place for Hate is the Anti-Defamation League program that's spreading.
Yeah, I know that just slipped out. Yeah, it's awful. We have it here. They're using it for a lot of stuff. They're pushing the homosexual agenda in schools by using that.
Right.
Where if children, you know, the bullying thing, isn't that part of it too? The anti-bully.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You
know, they make it seem like they're doing a great thing, and really they're just indoctrinating.
Right. So So I would bring them tests. This is, stopping bullying is a good, a good issue. But I wouldn't bring Capone's Chicago Syndicate as the solution to that and expect that to work. Okay.
Right, the bullies themselves.
Right. And I think that's really what you want to hammer, because I'm absolutely 100% sure, the police told me that the Anti-Defamation League is the mafia. Okay, they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you can prove it to yourself is unbolt one of those No Place for Hate signs, give it to the police. Or if you want to be more constructive, go to your local school board meeting or go to your local commissioner's meeting, bring the sign and say, I'm taking this off of here and I ask you to investigate this, look at No Place for Corruption, and realize that this is a front for the Chicago Syndicate. I don't want to have signs advertising that my community is wide open for organized crime to come in here and take over everything.
That's right.
And then you just sit back and listen, see which pig in the trail in front of you in the board squeals the loudest, and you see who's getting the kickbacks. Go after them.
Oh, clever.
Right.
Clever.
Makes
wow. Sense? Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. You know, I find that a lot of us, we're kind of skidding on the surface and we're seeing a lot of bad things that are going on. We're talking a lot about it, but we're not taking action. And
you coordinate taking off all the No Place for Hate signs on the streets, or a couple of them,
mm-hmm.
and do exactly what I said. You'll find a very interesting reaction when you give it to the police. the signs won't go back up. Okay. And if the signs go back up, that means the police know, okay? And if you do that, then you basically get them to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So then you get them on your side.
Right.
Maybe even get some to investigate it.
Yep.
And then you can tell them, you can go to Art Larson's website, noplaceforcorruption.com, and you can see how it's connected. Oh, excellent. Well, thank you for sharing all of this. Yeah.
So you're saying...
So I was gonna ask you. You're a bit of a historian too. You and I have had some talks about history and all sorts of things, current and past. Your thoughts on the Confederation? There are people who are feeling like the establishment, the federal government, is really cracking down on Confederation. They're taking down all of our monuments down there, completely, just trying to wipe it off. I think it's more about states' rights, local power, and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to ask if you thought it was ever possible for America to get back to a confederation. I mean, what do you, I mean, I guess that would be, secession would be the only way to do it, or doing through local power. I guess that would kind of be the same answer, but.
If they're weakest at the local level, and you're strongest, they're strongest at the federal level, and you're weakest there. Okay, so if you read The Art of War, Sun Tzu, the first thing is you work at the level where you're strongest and your opposition is the weakest.
Okay.
Okay. Now, when you mention the truth, I was just going to give you a quote here. This was by a U.S. senator. Truth, crust of the earth, shall rise again. The eternal years of God are hers. But error, wounded, rise in pain and dies among his worshipers. Truth has a way of asserting itself, despite all attempts to obscure it. Distortion only serves to derail it for a time. No matter to what lengths we humans try to obfuscate the facts or delude our fellows, truth has a way of squeezing out through the cracks eventually. Senator Byrd, talking about his opposition to going to war in Iraq.
That's a nice quote.
Yeah.
Because I honestly believe, as a Christian woman, that truth will prevail and that goodness is going to take back. I don't know if it's going to happen in my day, but like you said, if we focus on the local governments and trying to keep the crime out of our towns, that's a beautiful way to begin. And then eventually the towns will come together, because there's only one truth. So it's a common banner.
Right.
So as long as communities get together to do this, then I guess that's our only way to defeat this monster federal government. But when you have the federal government intruding on these small towns and making laws for your small towns, I don't know if sometimes we even have the ability to fight that.
Yes,
like, for example,
when they basically had prohibition, the people stood up to the federal government and they defeated them. Okay, so it was the anti-saloon leagues with some very, you know, high moral ideas that are going to stop drinking in America. But it absolutely turned out and blew up in their face, and the American people said, we're not putting up with it. So just realize you've got gangster government, and it's like prohibition. We're just not going to pay attention to you guys. You know, you can say all you want. We're not going to do, you know, support it or do anything to help you out. We're going to absolutely, you know, go just like the prohibition people did. Just fight it whatever way you can. You know, go to
turn your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn your backs on it.
Right.
Yeah, true, because without us, they don't have power, right?
Right. I mean, if they want to bring in people from, you know, immigration from, you know, another place over to your community and saturate your community with, you know, foreign labor or foreign, you know, people, they can't succeed there without the support of the community, educating them, giving them benefits, jobs, and everything else. If you guys don't support them, they're not going to do well in that community, and they'll go elsewhere.
Yeah.
All right, so they can make all the laws they want. The community says we're not putting up with it. It ain't going to happen.
Well, like here, there was this lesbian couple that went into a bridal shop owned by a Christian family. And they asked if they could, you know, get their dresses for them. And the couple said, I'm sorry, but, you know, if you were here for a prom or for anything like that, that would be fine. But it's really against our faith to play a part in a same-sex marriage. So now this couple got really hostile. They took him to court. They had the whole town involved. They wanted to force this this family to dress this couple for their wedding. It was awful. And, you know, they went through all sorts of court and stuff. They paid fees and fines and all this kind of thing. But the town, it was like just sheer luck because it was a controversy, I'll tell you. But they decided, no, we're not going to change the ordinance to force people to give business where, you know, it goes against their faith or something like that. So now they're talking about these things on a federal level where the Supreme Court justice had legalized it across the nation. And now we're wondering if they're going to make it, you know, to not only force churches and stuff, but, you know, force businesses that in their... There are chair people of, you know, these, there's just some big wigs saying that, you know, in the public sphere that you can't discriminate. And, you know, so it's concerning that is the federal government going to start making all these decisions and they're just going to make all these blanket laws across the nation.
And, like they do with everything else, unfunded mandates, let them pay for it. So if someone actually was to do what you're saying there, I'm not saying break the law, but you'd say, look, you know, our resources are tied up. We can't help you with what you're trying to do. You have to look elsewhere. Have a great day. Okay? Don't make it a big controversy. I mean, why set yourself up for all the legal hassles and everything else? Just say, you know, we can't, you know, you have to look for somebody else. I can't help you.
Yeah.
Okay? Why would you subject yourself to all that legal litigation and all that cost for, you know, a bunch of BS, which is a waste of time and energy you could be using to build your business. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way to address it, to say, I can't commit my resources to get this done for you. And if they actually bring in a law to force you to do it, then, you know, you could give them a spaghetti dress.
Oh, that's too funny. That's
right.
A great idea. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the boss got it, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, that's a simple solution right there.
Right.
Yeah,
so
sure,
really
we'll fit your dress. Come on over.
Right.
Well, you know, they really put these folks in fear, Christians especially, with all this No Place for Hate stuff, because when that was going on in town, there was this main speaker guy who ended up running for treasurer, and we're trying to figure out if he's going to get it or not, but... You know, again, you have to be on top of these things. You got to write letters and all that kind of stuff to try to prevent people like this man who was trying to make a case why we should force this Christian couple to participate in this wedding. And he was talking about No Place for Hate. He was even pointing at their No Place for Hate plaque in the town meeting. And he was very flamboyant and boisterous. And it was like, wow, you know, and what do we, he's right. actually using the mafia to force people to do things against their will.
Right.
So,
isn't it,
yeah, this is
no different
cool
what Capone did during Cicero, when he was taking over Cicero, Illinois. So look at, you have a bunch of gangsters coming in your community trying to take it over. Are you going to let them do it?
Can't.
Okay. So they're trying to basically distort the truth and tell you what they're trying to do. And once you point out, hey, your No Place for Hate program is nothing but a front for the freaking mafia, the Jewish mafia out of the Chicago Syndicate. Okay. Take me up on task for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to make our fellow townsmen aware, and we have to do it in a way that they don't look at us like we're crazy, because that's a lot of the times when I try to go out and speak publicly, they're all taken back by, like, you know, are you saying that, you know, the government is corrupt, and, you know, like, well, yeah.
I just say, look, do you want your town? You've heard the stories of Newark, New Jersey being taken over the mafia. You've heard of Detroit being taken over the mafia. Do you want your town taken over by the mafia? Do you want your property taxes to go up 4 to 10 times as much as what you're paying now over the next 10 years? Okay. If that's what you want, then this is what you got. If you want to do something about it, you better listen to what I have to say, or at least consider what I have to say, before they rip your wallet apart and destroy your representation in government, while they basically financially destroy this community.
Right on.
You're just going to sit back and allow that to happen? Or you want to listen to what I have to say and actually do the research yourself?
Yeah.
That's what you can say to people.
Yeah, that's great. See, that's the thing, is that not everybody has this brilliant way of thinking like you do, Art. Mr. Larson, I'm sorry. So, you know, we need these talking points. We need this information. We need to be able to pull all this together and then get out there and do something. So, you know, aside from listening to the show and taking notes and things like that, do you have, you know, can we make these instructions easier for, say, someone for like me to try to teach other people to do it in their towns, or for, you know, for myself so I can do it in my own town? You know what?
Yeah,
because this is not easy for the common person. It's really not.
It's real easy. Hey, do you remember what it was like when Capone took over towns in the Midwest, like Cicero, Illinois, destroying the vote, ripping off the people, basically taking all the funds out of the schools, out of the municipality, giving it to all his cronies, and financially ruining the town? Look at Detroit. You want to see what the mob does? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that to happen to your community here? Do you want the mafia in here to ruin his town, ripping it apart? Go look at Hazleton. You want to see a town overrun by the mafia? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to, I don't know where you are. I assume you're in the Pocono someplace. You know, we have a right to demand that we have some integrity in our government, since they're going to tax us and we got to pay for it. And it's time for you to understand what's going on and demand integrity in the government. Okay. And these are the guys who are getting, you know, are crooks. And by the way, the school bus leasing program you're seeing, you know, First Student, that's nothing but a front for the Bruffman crime family. The same Chicago syndicate that's basically putting this No Place for Hate program here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Right on.
So I know. Basically, you could say this in your own words. I mean, that's what you have to do, is understand it and put it in your words to say, look.
Well, putting all the history together, yeah.
Well, just say, oh, no, you're anti-Semitic. No, you're anti-mafia. Okay, you're anti-corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
And by the way, the word anti-Semitic was devised by the communists out of Eastern Europe in the Jewish community, the Bolsheviks, basically to oppose, create a, as a way to shut up anybody who would speak out against their corruption.
Yeah. Well, just like racist and all that too. These terms that are used to shush the opposition.
Bingo. Don't shut up.
Yeah.
And don't let them bait you. you know, and to talk about race, to say, look, I'm talking about corruption. You want to talk about racism? Talk about racism. I'm talking about corruption of corrupt people on the take, basically corrupt government who's ripping off our, you know, ripping this community apart. Okay, with their fake programs, while all they're doing is coming in here like the Chicago Syndicate and financially ruining us and putting the welfare of our children at jeopardy. You want to talk about racism? Right. Talk about racism. I'm talking about corruption.
That's great. And, you know, that's something, too, that you can bring to town boards when you're trying to keep, like, AFFH and that kind of thing out, where they're trying to do these things where they're bringing in you know, different races to bring to diversify your town type of stuff. So this is like, I think this is a big part of that too. Are you familiar with the affirmative fair housing, the HUD development, all that kind of stuff?
Right.
Yeah. And do you know much about that and you know, who's really behind?
Well, the UN is. What that means, it's the Rockefellers who are actually behind that.
Okay.
All right. And so, all right, you bring in all this, you know, you're bringing all these foreigners in here. Who's going to pay for them? We don't have enough jobs for people here already. Okay.
Right.
We have a responsibility to do something to take care of the people. Okay. You can't flood, you know, you think it's okay to flood our local community with foreign labor when we can't basically take care of our own? Okay. You have a responsibility to the community to basically do this in a constructive way. And what was done was the most extensive study on immigration was basically done. Let's see, I'll tell you what it is. There was a study for 12 years on immigration. And I actually got it in No Place for Corruption there. I'm looking for it right now. But there was a state, not a state, basically a congressional study for 12 years, bipartisan study. It was called the Barbara Jordan Commission, which said limit all immigration into the United States to 65,000 people per year, okay? And it was McCain and all those criminals that basically flooded the immigration market, the uncontrolled immigration we have now, okay? So
yeah.
I want you to look at what was done, a bipartisan study by the Jordan Commission to limit all immigration into the U.S. to 65,000 people per year. And they're saying that's what was needed to maintain the integrity of the United States. Okay, so if we are immigrating more than that, then we are in violation of the most extensive study of immigration that the U.S. Congress ever implemented in themselves. And if you're forcing that upon us, you're basically putting unreasonable expectations and, you know, expenses on us. We don't appreciate the fact that they're basically printing this money to help these people out, taking care of the American people. We can't help these people when we can't even help ourselves.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We already have a lot of people on welfare and things like that. You know, we can't be bringing in others to be on the welfare state, too. I think the whole plot is to destroy the middle class and put us all on welfare, and all of us are, you know, looking for handouts because we've come down to needing to stand in bread lines and soup kitchens and things like that because, I mean, it seems to be they're trying to create another depression. Yeah.
Yes, they're trying to basically play the options like Peter Schiff did when the 2008 mortgage securities market crashed and he made $4 billion in one day playing the options.
Oh, my goodness.
So Peter Schiff, you know, like I said before, is freedom to fascism. And, you know, it's his father, Erwin Schiff, is making a movie. He's the guy running the movie and producing a movie that we're watching about Aaron Russo. And nobody seems to even care that it's Erwin Schiff who's actually behind that whole movement. I mean, what they were saying is pretty valid, okay? But
sure,
it's, you know, look who's actually giving
Well, they have to have some valid truth to push their lie.
Yeah.
Or to get you on board with that,
Right. Well, I mean, Erwin Schiff was being put in prison for tax fraud, okay? So even of himself, when you figure out that Jacob Schiff was one of the founders in 1913 that set up the IRS, and now Erwin Schiff thinks it's so onerous he doesn't, you know, has no appreciation for it, when his own family members actually set up the situation and put him to jail to begin with.
Wow.
What?
I never knew that. I actually never knew that about that movie. Well, thank you so much, Art, for coming on. I hope you come on again. I'd love to talk about your research on 9/11 and also discuss AIPAC, because I don't feel enough people know about, first of all, who are the people behind 9/11, and also what role does AIPAC have in our government, especially with the foreign interests and things like that. So perhaps I can get you on again, and I hope to see you at our future Freedom Palooza events. Thank you so much for speaking and supporting them. Everybody really appreciates your speeches. I mean, I'm sure you've noticed how when you get up on the stage at the end of the night, everyone pulls their chairs over and sits in front of the stage to hear you. I mean, undivided attention, you know, like when you speak, people listen.
I'm not, basically, you know, I'm on the watch list of the freaking mafia. Okay, so that's the real
for sure.
Right. But I'm going to suggest that you or a group of you guys get together, get your socket wrench kits, look for the No Place for Hate signs that are in your community, take them off and either give them to the police force, give them to a board meeting with the police there, or give them to a school board meeting and ask them to, you know, say, we're going to say, have one for the school board and another one for the police. And I said, don't put these signs in our community advertising that this community is wide and open for the mafia to take it over.
Hmm. Okay. And I, on top of that, I would say that, you know, if people are doing this, I would say get it on video, like do it at a town meeting, call your media and make a big to-do about it. Put it up on YouTube and make this spread, and let's get rid of No Place for Hate, because really we don't need hate. I think that's an excellent idea, and I appreciate all of your all of these solutions, because we need more solutions going out there. Less complaining, more solutions.
Right. Then hopefully that's the message I'm trying to give people, is, you know, I'm only one person like you, you know, but we can profess, you know, we can espouse an idea that can basically be used to grow like a snowball and stand up against them. And it's something very simple, you know, a watchdog group.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, we're going to actually watch the school board, or we're going to watch this community, what you're doing here, because, you know, and also say.
And that'll really put them on edge, you know, because they're going to be like, okay, well, everything I do, I'm being watched. Because they could get away with a lot.
Right.
With a lot of stuff. And if they're not paying attention and someone's taking advantage of the person on the board, and you don't have a citizen saying, no, get back in line, then these things can just run rampant and we'll have corruption infesting in our town. So, yeah,
we need to get on top of that. You already do.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is basically hold them accountable. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the reason, why do you have career elected school board members? They should be in and out, just like every politician. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got fair elections, why are 95% going back in office each election?
Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, you can actually make a lot of positive changes there. So
yeah, you can. Okay. So it's kind of, I mean, the way I see the outcome of this is, if you have No Place for Hate in your town, then you're not doing your job.
No,
so we better get on
that. If you have No Place for Hate in your town, you got people who are working with the mafia and are on the take, and they need to be getting out of here.
Yeah, that's right.
And just listen who the strong supporters are and say, what are you doing working with the mafia? Say it right in front of a public meeting. See what they have to say. You want to see people stand up in fear and shock? Okay. And okay, they might scream, anti-Semitic, you're Holocaust denier. No, I'm just tired of the corruption here costing me and the rest of this community a lot of money and destroying our representation and our integrity of our government. That's all you have to say. They don't have a rebuttal for that. All right?
Amen. Well, it's a good thing this show is archived, so that way I can go back to it and take my notes, as I have been taking notes. And I'm going to run with this. So thank you so much, Art. All right, we'll be in touch. You take care. You too. Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been a wonderful episode with Mr. Art Larson. Again, his website is noplaceforcorruption.com. Next week, I will probably be discussing some stuff on the Planned Parenthood scandal, so you may want to tune in for that. I'll probably have a guest come up if she's willing. I did cover it on a... actually, I wrote an article. I'm going to be doing... a write-up, a follow-up on it. So if you get the American Free Press, you should be seeing that. But I hope you all are well, and I hope you guys have been taking notes, and if not, listen to it again, because it's going to be archived. Take notes, and let's get No Place for Hate out of our town, all right? And we'll take it from there. We'll go even further. So run with it with me, okay? Good night, everyone. God bless.